This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين اللهم ربنا لك الحمد O Allah, for you is all praise. ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وما بينهما. Praise that would fill all of the heavens, and praise that would fill all of the earth, and praise that would fill whatever is between them too. وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد. And praise that would fill whatever that you would be pleased with after that. أهل الثناء والمجد. You are worthy of praise and glory. لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت. No one can withhold what you give, nor can anyone give what you withhold. ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. And riches cannot avail a wealthy person against you. Allah, our Lord, glorified and exalted, Allah is Qareeb. He is close to us. He is near us. And He responds to our praise, our glorification, our supplications. When we remember Him, He remembers us. When we call upon Him, He answers us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ So seek forgiveness from Him. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ Then repent to Him. إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ Indeed, my Lord is near and responsive. He is near, so He hears. He is responsive because He cares and He is able to give us what we are in need of. So we begin our du'as with praise and glorification. And we send salat on the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was most pleased with, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we make du'a. Today's topic is du'as for strength in faith. And in particular, strength in faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe that Allah is one, that He has no partner, no equal, no one that is similar to Him. And belief in tawheed, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the key to success in this world and in the hereafter. Meaning if a person does not believe in tawheed and they leave this world, then such a person can never, ever be successful. And if a person believes in the oneness of Allah, then this faith is a source of relief and comfort for them, is a source of ease for them in this world and in the next life also, after death, for eternity. This kalima, this belief in the oneness of Allah is going to save a person. We see that the prophets of Allah, among their du'as, is that they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the ability to worship Him alone. We learn about Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, that when they built the Kaaba, they prayed to Allah, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكْ Our Lord, make us Muslims in submission to You. Meaning make us such that we surrender to You, we fully submit to You. And that can only happen when a person knows, believes, realizes that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. And so they surrender their entire being, their entire existence, their entire life to Allah. And surrender means that they worship only Allah. They seek help from only Allah. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And they have hope in Allah azza wa jal. So they prayed to Allah that رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكْ ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك. And from our descendants also, make a nation that is Muslim, meaning in submission to you. We also learned that Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua that wajnubni wa baniya an na'bud al asnam, that O Allah, keep me and my children away from the worship of idols. Isn't this amazing? Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who broke the idols. He is the one who left his people, his family, when they threatened to kill him because he was not upon their ways. In fact, he called them to the worship of Allah alone. So he left them for the sake of Allah. Yet, what is he asking for? He's asking Allah that, O Allah, protect me from the worship of idols. Protect my children from the worship of idols. Because a person cannot rely upon themselves that, oh, I'm a Muslim, I already believe in Allah, so I'll be fine. I don't need to worry about my faith. No, a person can only have iman when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them iman. A person can only be firm upon faith when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them that firmness. So we should never take Islam for granted. We should never take our belief in Allah for granted. We should value this treasure and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve and strengthen this treasure for us. We learn in the Quran that الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they ask Allah that رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. They say, our Lord, let not our hearts deviate after you have guided us, and grant us from yourself mercy. Indeed, you are the bestower. If you think about it, Iblis used to be a worshipper of Allah. Iblis used to be among the angels. And what happened to him? His heart changed. What happened to him? He turned away from the worship of Allah, from being a servant to Allah, to becoming an enemy to Allah. So we should never ever think that because I believe in Allah right now, I'll be fine forever. Or because I'm a Muslim right now, I don't need to worry about the future of my faith. No, we should always worry. And so we should always call upon Allah that, Ya Allah, do not let my heart deviate. We learn about the believers in Isa alayhi salam. They said, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولِ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Our Lord, we have believed in what you revealed and we have followed the messenger. So register us among the witnesses to truth. And when can that happen? When we die upon the truth. We learn in Surah Ali Imran that the worshippers of Allah, they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That our Lord, indeed, we have believed. So forgive us our sins and protect us from the punishment of the fire. How can a person be protected from the punishment of the fire when they die upon iman? The ulul albab, people of intellect, people of intelligence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them, that they say, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا. Our Lord, indeed we have heard a caller calling to faith, saying, believe in your Lord, and we have believed. So belief in Allah is the biggest treasure that a person can have. Because it is with this belief that a person can have some hope in this life. A person can survive the tribulations, the trials in this life. A person can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And a person can be saved in the hereafter. And the magicians of Fir'aun, who believed in Musa alayhi salam, they understood how precious this light is, this iman is. So they prayed to Allah, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Our Lord, pour upon us patience and let us die as Muslims in submission to you. Meaning, allow us to die in a state when we are in submission to you. We believe in your oneness. We believe in your perfection. We are in obedience to you. We have faith in you. We have trust in you. We have hope in you. We have love for you. We have fear of you. This is surrender. So today's du'as are going to be about belief in tawheed, or rather asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength in tawheed, and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the opposite of tawheed, which is shirk. Now, before we discuss the meanings of these du'as, let us talk a little bit about what tawheed really is. Because this is a word that we have been hearing from childhood, that we are Muslims, we believe in tawheed. What exactly is tawheed? Tawheed is literally to make something one. It is to unify, to make something one. So for example, when there's multiple things, you make them one. It's unification. This is tawheed, wahada. And tawheed of Allah means that a person believes in the oneness of God, not in plurality, rather oneness. It is to believe in the unification of all divine attributes in one supreme being. If you think about it, different people in the world, they have different beliefs. And even though they believe in one creator, what mistake do they make? They think that there is someone else who is a child to God, or someone else who has the power to heal, the power to save a person. And they give it different names. You know, people of different religions, they give such concepts different names. And then we see that in some religions, there is literally a belief in many, many gods, that for each thing in the universe, for each power, for each force in the universe, there is a god that is dedicated to that. So for example, there is a god that controls the weather. There is a god that grants children. There is a god of beauty. There is a god of misery and things like that. So all such beliefs contradict the belief that we have. All such beliefs are false and they contradict the truth. Allah is one. There is only one deity worthy of worship, because there is only one perfect being who is the creator of everything and who controls everything and who possesses all perfect divine attributes. And that being is Allah alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn and men except so that they worship me. This is tawheed, that we worship only Allah. And the statement of tawheed is in the words لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. And this is the central and most important concept in Islam. There are many religions that claim to be monotheistic religions, but in reality they are not. Because where they believe that God is the creator, they also believe at the same time that someone else has the power to influence the world in the same way that God has. Or that they will dedicate their worship to someone other than the creator God. So this is not pure monotheism. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that tawheed is not simply that a person declares that there is only one creator, or that there is only one Lord, one king of the entire existence. Rather, tawheed is that a person believes in one God, and at the same time, a person dedicates his ultimate love to who? To that one God. And then that person surrenders before that one God. And then that person shows humility and weakness before that one God. And when there is such love and surrender and humility before the one God, this means that a person will obey Allah happily, and he will be sincere in his worship, and he will intend to seek the face, the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through everything that the person does, whether it is that they're saying something or they're doing something, their ultimate goal becomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so a person then begins to live for the sake of Allah. So when they give something, they give it for the sake of Allah. When they withhold something, they don't give something, they do that also for the sake of Allah. When they love something, they do that for the sake of Allah. When they dislike something, when they leave something, that is also for the sake of Allah. Their entire life, their prayer, their sacrifice, their life, their death, all of it is dedicated to Allah, meaning they are in submission to Allah. They are in subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person thinks about Allah, believes in Allah, loves Allah, fears Allah, remembers Allah, eats the way that is pleasing to Allah, drinks in a way that is pleasing to Allah, deals with their family in a way that is pleasing to Allah. It is to live one's life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawheed. This is tawheed. That your ultimate concern, your ultimate love, all right, your ultimate fear is of who? Allah. That you fear Him the most, you love Him the most, you are concerned about pleasing Him the most, and everything else becomes secondary. And when a person has such tawheed in their heart, then what happens? This tawheed becomes a barrier between them and disobedience to Allah. Meaning every time that there is an invitation to disobey Allah, tawheed will stop them. It will prevent them. That no, you cannot go towards the sin because Allah knows you are doing it. Allah is not pleased with this. Allah, the one whom you love, does not like this. So then a person stays away from sins also because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawheed. And tawheed, there's the category of tawheed uluhiyya, which is that a person believes that only Allah is worthy of worship. So whether it is their prayer or their charity, their dua, their umrah, their hajj, any kind of ritual worship, sajda, sacrifice, all of that is dedicated to Allah alone and no one else. Allah alone and no one else. Then there is tawheed rububiyya, which is to believe that Allah is the only one who is in absolute control of the creation, because He is the one who created it, He is the one who owns it, and He is the one who is carrying out His command, His decrees in the existence. And this means that there is no creator other than Allah, and there is no Malik of this universe other than Allah. He is the only creator, the only Malik, the only Mudabbir. It is His command that prevails. And then there is Tawheed Asma wa Sifat, meaning Tawheed, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and unique in all of His perfect names, in all of His perfect attributes. There is no one who is like Him when it comes to His knowledge. There is no one who is like Him when it comes to His listening, His seeing, and all of the attributes. So Tawheed, this is a central, the most important part of our religion. And it is so important that we see that every prophet of Allah invited people to the worship of Allah alone. This was their primary basic message. This is what every prophet began with. We learn about Nuh alayhi salam, that he said to his people, "O my people, worship Allah. Ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. You have no God besides Him." Hud alayhi salam said the same thing to his people. Salih alayhi salam, Shu'aib alayhi salam, all of these prophets said the same thing to their people, that worship Allah. You have no God other than Him. We learn that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam began with the same thing. We learn that he was at Hajj and he was calling people. He was saying, "Ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." O people, say la ilaha illallah and you will succeed. We all know that there are five pillars of Islam. And the first pillar is what? La ilaha illallah. To bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his messenger. We learn, Ibn Hajar says, that in the revelation of the Quran, the verses that were revealed at first were verses that spoke about Tawheed, about the oneness of Allah. Not just stating that Allah is one, but showing, making it clear that Allah is the only one who has absolute power, because you return to him and on the day of judgment you have to answer to him. So all of the verses that talk about the day of judgment, that talk about the previous prophets, that talk about the different things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, what are they proving? What are they establishing? The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that after that, verses related to various commands were revealed. So this shows us that the first and most important thing that we need to strengthen in ourselves, and we need to teach our children and teach our families, our loved ones, is that they must believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is our first and last obligation. How is it our first obligation? It is our first obligation because when a child is born and the child begins to understand things and learn different things, one of the first things you must teach your child is what? La ilaha illallah. Because fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. You should know that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Every child deserves to be taught this. And we must emphasize this. And then how is this our last obligation? It's our last obligation because we learn in a hadith that the person whose last statement is la ilaha illallah, meaning he dies after that, then dakhala al-jannah. Such a person will enter Jannah. So if we want to enter into Jannah, then this is something that we should declare at the end of our lives also. Tawheed is relevant from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives. It is essential, it is most important throughout our lives. And when a person believes in the oneness of Allah, what does that mean? It means that first of all, we should know Allah. And it is not enough to just say Allah is one, or that we are Muslims and we believe God is one. Yes, we believe God is one. Yes, Allah is one. But who is Allah? How is he only one? And you cannot know the oneness of Allah without knowing his perfect names and attributes. You see, the reason why many people turn away from belief in God is because they have a very twisted understanding of who God is. First of all, they make the mistake of comparing God to the creation. All right. So when they see that people of power, they become greedy, they think God is the same way. Na'udhu billah. Or that people of power, they are not perfect in their decisions. They make mistakes. They think God is the same way. Na'udhu billah. And that is not correct. Allah is not like his creation. The creation makes mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not. The creation, they fail in their promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not. Inna Allah la yukhliful mi'ad. The creation, they are such that they do not know everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows everything. So when we believe in the oneness of Allah, we must learn about who Allah is. And we learn about who Allah is by learning his names, his attributes, his names, his sifat, asma wa sifat. Believing in the oneness of Allah means that we believe that he alone is worthy of worship, that there is no one else that deserves that I fear them, that I love them, a lot in the sense that love that leads to surrender and obedience. No, it is only Allah who deserves that from me. We learn in a hadith that there is no person who dies while bearing witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he dies upon that, meaning the person dies upon that, with a قلب موقن, yani with a heart that is filled with conviction. And he declares this faith with absolute conviction, then what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. If a person dies like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. So we must have yaqeen, conviction in this. We don't just say, I believe in the oneness of Allah, because this is what we've heard people saying. So we repeat the same statement. No, we should understand the statement. We should say it from our heart. We should accept this as a fact, as the truth with a capital T. Any, this is the truth that I have a conviction in. I know this for a fact that Allah is one. When we believe that Allah is one, this means that we become obedient to Allah. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that what is Islam? And he said that you surrender your face to Allah and that you testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his worshipper, his messenger, and you establish the salah, you give the zakat. When you do that, then you have surrendered. Then believing in tawheed means that we obey Allah and his messenger. Allah says, "Wa ati'u Allah wa rasulahu in kuntum mu'minin." Obey Allah and his messenger if you're truly believers. If you truly believe in Allah, then obey Allah. Believing in the tawheed means that we are sincere to Allah, meaning whatever we do it for the sake of Allah. We do it so that he is pleased with us. We do it knowing that he is watching us. We do it seeking his approval. We do it in a way that is pleasing to Allah. So we do it correctly. We do it properly. We learn فَعْبُدِ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينِ. Worship Allah while making your religion sincere to him. Believing in tawheed means that we love Allah the most. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They are most intense in their love for Allah. We learn in the hadith that none of you can truly believe until Allah and his messenger are more beloved to him than everything else. This is part of tawheed. Part of tawheed is that we fear Allah more than we fear people. Part of belief in tawheed is that we obey all of the commands of Allah. We refrain from all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And whenever there are differences, then we refer to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Whenever there are problems, there are difficulties, we turn to Allah. We ask him for help. We pray to Allah. And we rely upon Allah. We put our faith, our trust in Allah, that he is enough. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. We rely upon him. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Upon Allah, the believers should put their trust. Meaning those who truly believe in Allah, that Allah is one, they should put their trust in Allah. That Allah is enough. He is there. He will bring good from this situation. He will make this easy for us. He will bring us benefit in this. He will protect us. There is khair in this. If Allah decreed it, then there is goodness in this. Nothing happens without the will of Allah. And if Allah willed this, there is good in it for me. Oh Allah, I ask you for goodness. When something bad happens or something difficult happens, we recognize that this happened by the will of Allah. And we recognize that it cannot go away without the will of Allah. So when a person believes in the tawheed of Allah, this means that they are also happy with Allah. They are pleased with Allah, with whatever that Allah has revealed, all of the commands of Islam, and whatever that Allah has decreed. With whatever that Allah has decreed. Some people are not happy with, why are there men and women? There should only have been one gender. And then they're always drawing differences between men and women. They're always trying to prove that one is better than the other. Or because one is better than the other, we need to abolish different genders. And we need to treat and make everyone the same. as if they are upset with the decree of Allah, as if they think they know better. Believing in the oneness of Allah means that we believe Allah is perfect in His knowledge, in His wisdom, in His decrees, in what He has created, in what He has legislated. The Prophet ﷺ said that whoever is pleased with Allah as Rabb, and with Islam as his deen, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as his prophet, then wajabat lahul jannah. Paradise is guaranteed for him, meaning such a person will certainly enter Jannah. So ask yourself, do I just believe that God is one? Or am I happy with Allah? Am I pleased with Allah? Because you see, when you recognize someone's greatness and perfection, then you trust their decisions. And when you trust their decisions, then even if initially you don't understand, you go along. And then eventually you understand. And even if you don't understand and you see some kind of hardship, you trust their decision. You trust their decision because you know that they did not make a mistake. If this is with people whom we love, who are full of mistakes, why can we not have such good thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sadly, so many Muslims say inappropriate things about Allah, wrong things about Allah. Why did Allah create me like this? Why did my family have to be like this? Why did I have to be a woman? Why did I have to be born in this country? Why did I have to be born at this time? Why was I created anyway? Astaghfirullah. These statements are all contrary to pure tawheed. Tawheed, belief in tawheed, means that we are grateful to the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed on us. Washkuru ni'matallahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Be grateful for the blessings of Allah if it is only Him that you worship. It is to believe that nothing happens without the will of Allah. لَن يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing can reach us except what Allah has already decreed for us, what Allah has already written for us. So whatever happens in my life, in your life, in the life of your pet, in the life of your loved one, inside your house, outside your house, in your country, in your neighboring country, in the continent that you live in the other one, in this world, or on Mars, or on Jupiter, or on the sun, in the Milky Way, elsewhere, nothing happens without the will of Allah. Not a leaf falls except that He knows about it. This is Tawheed. And the opposite of Tawheed is Shirk. Shirk is to make an equal to Allah. To say that someone else shares in the different powers of Allah, or in the different sifat, the traits of Allah. That, for example, to believe that Allah is worthy of worship, and then someone else also deserves our worship. Astaghfirullah. This is shirk. Shirk can also be in dua, that a person makes dua to someone other than Allah. Shirk can be in sajda, that a person makes sajda to, for example, someone in a grave. This is all contrary to tawheed. So shirk, remember, is completely, where tawheed is the ultimate truth, shirk is false. It is the ultimate lie. Because Allah has no partner. وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Your God is one God. Allah says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Do not set up equals to Allah. إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Indeed, your God is one God. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ. Say, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Allah. Why? Because He is the only one who is worthy of all praise. Because He is the only one who is perfectly perfect. He has no child. He has no equal, no partner. He doesn't need a helper. He doesn't experience any weakness because of which He needs a helper. No, He is perfectly great. So this means that we should worship Only Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah and do not associate any partner with him. And if you think about it, you know, like Yusuf alayhi salam, he said to the people in the prison with him, that tell me, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Are multiple gods better? Are different gods better? Or is Allah the one, the irresistible? He is better. And you think about it logically. If there were multiple beings controlling different things that we were in need of, our life would be so hard. Because any one decides that there should be rain, the other decides, no, it should be sunny. Right? You see this, that where in a family, parents are not on the same page, what happened to the children? Constantly suffering. One says do this, the other says no, do that. In a workplace where two people have equal authority, then again, all the workers are suffering. One says do this, the other says do that. And imagine if we had to go to multiple beings in order to seek their help, in order to ask them to aid us. Any, you know, sometimes you go to one person, you tell them your whole story, your whole situation, and then you make your request. And they say, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't help you. Go to that person. You go to that person, and then again, you repeat the whole story. You tell them your whole story, your whole situation, you repeat the request. And they say, oh, go to someone else. See, every time you go to someone else, it's so hard because you have to make them aware of your entire situation. So Allah is one. And logically also, it does not make sense that there should be multiple gods. So he asked, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Allah, al-wahid, the one, al-qahhar. This is also very fitting over here, this name, because qahhar is the irresistible, in the sense that when he decides, when he decrees, when he does something, no one can resist. He prevails. He prevails. So this is the power of Allah that no one can avoid. No one can run away from Allah. Now, when it comes to shirk, remember, shirk can be in words. So for example, a person says words that show that there is an equal to Allah. Or shirk can also be in actions. It can be in one's belief also. So we should abstain from all forms of shirk. And the opposite of iman, of belief in Allah, is kufr. Kufr is to deny. And kufr is also to be extremely ungrateful. So where there are people who, for example, associate equals to Allah or ascribe a child to Allah, there are those who completely deny the existence of God. Or there's this new fashion now, new trend now, to put your to just trust the universe. What is this universe? The universe itself does not, function on its own. You know, there's that realization when people say, trust the universe, or ask the universe to grant you good, to work in your favor, and things like that. There's that realization that there is someone behind all of this existence. There is someone who is in control. Why don't you accept that someone is Allah? Take his name, mention his name. And you think about it. If someone were to refer to you without ever taking your name, without ever acknowledging your being, your person, are they really grateful to you? Are they really making, are they really being fair to you? No, they're not. Because among Muslims also, this has become very trendy to not say the name of Allah. And replace that with universe or things like that. And this is wrong. So where there are people who associate equals to Allah, there are those who completely deny Allah. And that is kufr. And kufr is the opposite of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ. He is the one who created you. And among you are those who disbelieve. Among you are those who believe. Kufr is also the opposite of taqwa. Because you see, taqwa is to live a life of consciousness. meaning you're conscious, you are alert, you are aware that Allah is there, that Allah is watching me, that I have to avoid anything that displeases Allah. I have to do those things which please Allah. This is taqwa. So Allah says, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. The people of taqwa will be driven to paradise in groups. And the opposite of that, وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى جَهَنَّمَ زُمَرًا. That the people who disbelieved will be taken to hell in groups. So the opposite of taqwa is also kufr. The opposite of gratitude is also kufr. Because what is gratitude? That you acknowledge that Allah gave me all of these things. And kufr is what? To deny that Allah is the one who gave you the things that you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Whoever is grateful, then indeed he is only grateful for the benefit of his own self. And whoever kafara, whoever disbelieves, is ungrateful, then Allah is rich, free of need, he is praiseworthy. Then ihsan is also the opposite of kufr. إِنْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that أَوْ تَقُولَ حِينَ تَرَى الْعَذَابَ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي كَرَّةً فَأَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That a person will express their regret at the time of death, that or rather when they see the punishment, that if only I had another chance, I would be of the muhsineen. I would do ihsan. I would bring excellence in my worship. I would be very sincere to Allah. So it is said, no, the verses of Allah came to you, but you denied and you were arrogant and you were of those who are kafirin, those who deny, those who reject. The opposite of good deeds is also kufr. So we should refrain from all forms of kufr, whether it is that a person is not conscious of Allah, or that a person is ungrateful to Allah, or that a person does not bring excellence in their actions, or that a person does not care about the kind of deeds they are doing. We need to refrain from all types of kufr. And remember that there is major kufr, which expels a person from Islam, and then there is minor kufr also, right? Where a person is arrogant towards the commands of Allah, or they refuse to obey, or they are ungrateful. We need to avoid these things. When a person believes in Tawheed and lives their life according to that Tawheed, then there are many good news for this person. What are these good news? What are these benefits that a person will get? First of all, the person who believes in the oneness of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them to the straight path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them out of darkness into light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them hayatan tayyiba, a good life in this world. And a good life does not mean that their life will be free of any problems and any challenges. No. There will be challenges, there will be trials, there will be difficulties, but their belief in Allah will be like an anchor, something to keep them grounded, something to keep them in place, so that they don't despair, they don't get lost, they don't quit. They have a reason to have hope, they have a reason to be strong. This is hayatan tayyiba. And they have a purpose every day of their lives, regardless of their circumstances. For example, when a believer, a person who believes in the oneness of Allah, even if they're extremely ill, they are housebound basically, they're not able to go anywhere. They have lost their mobility, or they cannot even get out of their bed. Then every day that they wake up, at least they have some goal, something to look forward to, that now I'm going to pray salah. They may not be able to make wudu, but they make tayammum. And on their bed, They pray salah, and then they make some dhikr. Then they recite some Quran. And even if they don't have the energy to do that, maybe they will listen to some Quran. Maybe they will think about the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those who are patient. And they have something to look forward to. This is hayatan tayyiba. This is good life. And when a person believes in the oneness of Allah and lives according to that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves and secures and increases reward for them in the hereafter, for everything that they do, for every little thing that they do even, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves reward for them in the hereafter. Then we also learn that because of tawheed, a person is granted firmness, stability in this life. They are given security in this life and in the next life. Because of tawheed, a person's iman increases. Ibn Qayyim said that the strength of iman in the heart of the believer is in proportion to the strength of tawheed in his heart. Meaning the stronger tawheed is, the stronger iman is. Meaning when a person believes in the oneness of Allah with strength, then they will also have iman according to that strength. And when they will have iman, they will have trust in Allah. They will have faith in Allah. They will have conviction in Allah. And he said that Surah Ikhlas is a surah with few huruf. And if you think about it, it's only a couple lines. Surah Ikhlas is a surah with few huruf, but it is equal to a third of the Quran because it only contains tawheed. So tawheed is a big deal. And when a person has tawheed, their iman increases. Tawheed is the source. When a person believes in the oneness of Allah, their good deeds increase. And then their good deeds are also accepted. And then because of their belief in the oneness of Allah, they also receive the help of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim also said that what purifies the heart and the soul is tawheed. It purifies a person. How does it purify a person? It makes them more honest, more sincere, more original. Yani they're not fake. They're not pretentious. Their inside and outside is the same. Their external, internal is the same because they know that Allah is watching me here and there. Allah knows me inside and out. So the more tawheed the person has, the more honest they become, the more sincere they become, because they're purified. When a person believes in the oneness of Allah, they will have the privilege of receiving the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Their sins will be forgiven, even if they come on the Day of Judgment with the fill of the earth in sins. And if a person has committed major sins also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon them because of their belief in His oneness. And we also learned that such a person will ultimately enter paradise. In contrast, when a person associates partners with Allah, remember this is ghulmun azeem. This is the greatest injustice. This is the biggest sin. This is a'zam, yani the sin that is a'zam, that is the greatest. And it is a sin that is most hated to Allah. It is a sin that Allah does not forgive. It is a sin because of which a person's deeds will be wasted in the hereafter. They will carry no worth. Because a mushrik, the person who dies on shirk, on the Day of Judgment, their deeds will not be accepted, their charity will not be rewarded, their truthfulness will not benefit them, because they associated partners with Allah. And even if they ask forgiveness 1,000 times, they will not be forgiven because they associated partners with Allah. And we also learn that إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, that whoever associate partners with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise on him. Such a person will remain in hell forever. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strength in iman. Iman in Him. Iman in tawheed. That, O Allah, grant me the strength of belief in Your oneness. Belief in You. That You alone have absolute power, absolute control. That You When you give something, no one can stop it. When you stop something, no one can bring it. You have absolute power. You have absolute control. So what are some du'as that we can make? One of the du'as that we can make is that we can say, La ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. There is no deity except you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been of the wrongdoers. This du'a is a du'a of Yunus alayhi salam. And you see, when he said in this du'a, La ilaha illa anta, that there is no God but you, this is Tawheed uluhiyya, declaration of the fact that only Allah is worthy of worship. Subhanaka means that, O Allah, you are perfect, you are exalted, you are perfect, you are free of any fault. This is Tawheed asma wa sifat, to declare your faith in the oneness of Allah in His names and attributes. Because in His names and attributes, He is perfect. No one is like Him. So you are perfect. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Indeed, I am of those who have done wrong, and I am in need of your forgiveness. So what is happening over here? There is ubudiyya, right? That you are showing servitude to Allah. You are making Allah your ultimate goal. You know that it is only Allah who can pardon you, and it is only Allah who can bring you out of difficulty. Another dua that we should say frequently is La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. None has the right to be worshipped but Allah alone, who has no partner. His is the dominion, and His is the praise, and He is able to do all things. Now, remember earlier on I mentioned to you that there are different kinds of du'as. In some du'as, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. And in other du'as, we are praising and glorifying Allah. We are declaring His oneness. This is also a kind of du'a. Because when we affirm our faith in Allah, then that becomes a source of receiving from Allah what we are in need of. Because when we say that Allah has no partner and He owns everything, then He owns what I am in need of, right? He deserves all praise, meaning I am happy with the decree of Allah because Allah does not make mistakes. He is perfect in his decrees. And He is able to do all things. He is able to change my circumstances. He is able to bring me healing that I am in desperate need of. So sometimes you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your words very clearly that, Ya Allah, grant me this. And other times you ask indirectly. All right? How? By declaring the oneness of Allah, by praising and glorifying Allah. And this dua is one such dua. And this dua is so beautiful. In a hadith, we learn that the person who says this, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times a day, then such a person will have the reward equivalent to that of freeing 10 slaves. Imagine, it's as if you have set 10 slaves free. 100 good deeds will be recorded for him. 100 sins will be forgiven for him. And he will be protected against the shaitan on that day until the evening. You know, sometimes a person feels that they're under the effect of magic or that some shaitan is bothering them. They have constant negative thoughts. So how to protect yourself against shaitan? Say this, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times a day. Declare the oneness of Allah. And you see, La ilaha illallah, in this statement itself, is so easy on the tongue, right? It's so easy on the tongue. And it is the ultimate truth that there is no God but Allah. And no matter what condition you are in, you can say La ilaha illallah very easily, because all you need to do to say La ilaha illallah is just move the tip of your tongue. That's it. La ilaha illallah. That's it. You don't need to join your lips. You don't need to use your throat, you know, to say ha or ra. There are no such sounds in the statement la ilaha illallah. You don't have to make your tongue touch the teeth, right? Because there's no seen, there's no tha, la ilaha illallah. And you're just moving your tongue up and down. So even if you're very unwell, you know, sometimes you don't have the energy to move, but you can move the tip of your tongue. This is why when a person is, you know, near death, yani it's obvious that they're going to die very soon, you should encourage them to say La ilaha illallah. And if it was not possible for a person to say this, we would not have been encouraged to say this. A person can say this, La ilaha illallah. And a person who says this kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. If they say this at the time when they go to bed, and after this, they also say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim, Subhanallah walhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Wallahu akbar. In a hadith, we learned that all of their sins will be forgiven, even if they're like the foam of the sea. When we wake up in the night, you know, sometimes you get startled or you wake up. You should, again, say this. And you should say, Alhamdulillah wa subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. After saying this, and you make some dua. In hadith, we learned that dua is accepted. It is granted. In the morning, in the evening, we should say these words. And especially after Maghrib, we should say La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, yuhyi wa yumit, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 10 times. If you say this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send angels that are maslahatan, yani that are equipped to guard a person against shaytan. And you think as if you have guards around you to protect you. When you enter the market, also say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumit, wa huwa hayyu la yamut, biyadihi al-khayr kullu, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. If you say that when entering the market, 1 million good deeds are recorded for you. And this is also the best dua to say on the day of Arafah. Another dua that we can say that declares the oneness of Allah is that we say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqr. And here, we're not just declaring the oneness of Allah in this dua, we're also asking Allah that, oh Allah, protect me from disbelief. Protect me from ever disbelieving in you, rejecting you, being ungrateful to you, not being conscious of you. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufr. What is it that you ask Allah to protect you from? Something that is very dangerous. Kufr is dangerous. Wal-faqr. Ya Allah, protect me from poverty also. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. O Allah, indeed I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave. La ilaha illa anta. There is no God worthy of worship but you. And this dua is among the du'as that we say in the morning, in the evening, 3 times each. In the morning and in the evening. And it's interesting, we're asking Allah to protect us from disbelief and from poverty. Because poverty can also be very dangerous for a person. Sometimes because of poverty, a person ends up earning haram. A person ends up committing theft. And recently, you know, where I live, there's been, you know, this in the news that there are people who are stealing donation boxes from different mosques because they know that, you know, these days donation boxes are full. People go to the masjid a lot, they give a lot of charity. So there are people who are literally going masjid to masjid and stealing donation boxes. And I'm wondering, what kind of hard-heartedness is this that a person in the month of Ramadan, in the days of fasting, in the nights of prayer, they're going to the masjid to steal? Why are they doing that? Perhaps it is greed for money. Perhaps that greed is coming from a place of extreme poverty. Who knows? We should ask Allah to protect us from poverty because poverty can put a person in fitna. It can lead a person to haram. It can lead a person to many sins. So ask Allah to protect you from kufr and faqr. Then another dua that we can make is, if you can please change the slide. Please move to the next slide. I want to make sure I cover this, the du'as that are on the slides. Okay. We can say, Allahu Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. That, O Allah, that Allah, Allah, my Lord, I do not associate any partner with him. This is a du'a that we should make when we are worried, when we are sad. Because Allah, my Rabb, this is the declaration that I am not alone. That Allah, the one who is perfect, he is my Lord. He knows what I'm going through. What I'm going through happened with his permission. He is able to bring the living out of the dead and the dead out of the living. He is able to bring the day out of the night and the night out of the day. This is his power. So he is able to change my situation also. Allahu Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a. I do not associate any partner with him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also taught another dua, which is Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, lest I associate anything with you knowingly. And I seek your forgiveness for what I do not know. There's a hadith in which we learn that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O Abu Bakr, shirk enters your people more quietly than the movement of ants. Do you hear ants crawling? You don't. So just like that, so quietly, in such a subtle way, shirk enters the heart of a person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, is there a kind of shirk besides associating anything with Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by him who has my life in his power, shirk is more concealed than the movement of ants. Shall I not teach you something which, if you say, will eliminate minor and major shirk? He said, say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam. That, O Allah, I seek refuge in you, lest I associate anything with you while I know it. Meaning knowingly, I associate some equal to you, some partner to you. And I seek your forgiveness for what I do not know. Because a kind of shirk is to show off, to do something good in order to impress people, in order to garner their attention and praise, that they should like me, they should praise me, they should be happy with me. This is also a form of shirk. Because you should be doing things only for the sake of Allah. You want to make sure that you look good in the eyes of Allah, that Allah is pleased with you, that He will be happy with you. He will praise you before His angels, and He will reward you. That should be our goal. So a kind of shirk is to show off, to seek the attention of people. So sometimes we don't even realize, and such feelings creep into the heart. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, that, O Allah, forgive me for what I never intended. But it enters my heart, and then it corrupts my intention. It corrupts my action. Ya Allah, forgive me for that. So this is a dua that we should be making. Another dua that we can make is, Allahumma laka aslamtu, wa bika amantu, wa alayka tawakkaltu, wa ilayka anabtu. O Allah, it is unto you that I surrender myself. I affirm my faith in you, and I put my trust in you, and I turn to you in repentance. وَبِكَ خَاصَمْتُ, and with your help I fight my adversaries. اللهم إني أعوذ بعزتك. O Allah, I seek refuge in your might, in your honor. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ, there is no God but you. I ask you, أَن تُضِلَّنِي, I ask you to protect me from sending me astray. Ya Allah, do not send me astray. Anta al-hayyu alladhi la yamut. You are the ever-living one who does not die. Wal jinnu wal insu yamutun. And the jinn and men, they will die. You will not die. The jinn and men will die. You are eternal. Now, in this dua, what are we doing? We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from what? From sending us astray. Because how often it happens, we hear a person is a born Muslim. They went to Islamic school. They memorized Quran. They used to have a beard. They used to attend all the lectures. They used to do so much da'wah. And then what happened? They said, I don't believe. They now say, I don't believe. Wal-iyadu billah. Never ever take iman for granted. Ask Allah to protect you from going astray. Ask Allah for increase in guidance. Ask Allah to keep you firm on tawheed. Because the person who dies on tawheed, that person will enter Jannah. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us. He said, do not associate partners with Allah. Any partner with Allah. Even if you are cut up or if you are set on fire. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah. Meaning even if people physically harm you, forcing you to associate something with Allah, do not do that. Do not associate anything with Allah. No matter what you have to suffer in this, we ask Allah to protect us from tribulations of this world and the next. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the joy of knowing, understanding His oneness, to grant us the joy of believing in Tawheed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all sincerity. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all forms of shirk. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.